Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today, and welcome to any visitors. I'd like to thank those that are helping to make our service possible today. Jason on the organ, Scott will be song leading, and then Bob and Mark in the back. It's definitely important that we have everyone sharing their gifts here at church. Just a few announcements. Our annual meeting is scheduled for the third Sunday of October. I believe that's the 18th. I didn't write it down here. The annual reports will be available for pickup this week, and they'll also be emailed out to you. Drive-through communion will continue on Wednesdays from 5 until 6, if you'd like to participate in that. Also, a Monday Bible study in the morning in our fellowship hall starting this Monday at 10 a.m. with Emily. So if you'd like to join her for that, you can touch base with her. Also, confirmation classes will begin on October 7th, this coming Wednesday in the sanctuary, 6 until 7. And for any of the parents and families that missed our informational meeting last Wednesday, that will happen after our Wednesday night service at 7:30. Those are all of the announcements I have for you today. I invite you to stand as you're able. Our service is on the screen, and it was also emailed, and it's on Facebook for you as well, if that's easier. We begin with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be with his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation. One Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we, like saints before us, may see you face to face.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading is from Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done to it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Word of God, word of life. Our second reading is from Philippians 3, verses 4b through 14. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining ahead to what forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Our holy gospel for today comes from Luke chapter 10. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you spend or more. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you arrive at the Las Vegas airport, there is a sign that hangs proudly with these words. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So we have a few of you that have gone before. I would edit that for today. What happened in Vegas, in Columbine, in Orlando, in San Bernardino, Chattanooga, Charleston, New Zealand, what happened in so many places, too many for us to list. We wish it would just stay there and be done forever. But it hasn't stopped. If you remember a few years ago in Las Vegas, in the middle of a country western concert, Jason Aldean was singing When She Says Baby. Over 60 lives were lost and 500 were injured. The FBI has stated that anytime three or more lives are lost in a public place, it is considered a mass event. And I believe all of us sitting here today can say with a sure heart that this is not the world God would want for us, that the law is meant to protect all citizens against the forces of evil. Our sermon series for the month of October is Reformation Themes. Today is Law and Gospel. To put it in the simplest form, the law convicts us and the gospel frees us. The law always gives if-then statements. If we steal from Walmart, then we go to jail. If we hurt people at a concert, then we go to prison for life. If I fail to stop at the stop sign, then I might get pulled over and get a warning or a ticket. If I mess up my bedroom, then my mom will make me clean it up. If you don't sing in worship, then God will be mad at you. Just kidding on that part. We're Lutheran, so we know how that part goes. The gospel, on the other hand, frees us. It's words like, God loves you. You matter to the Lord. Our Redeemer lives and then redeems us. Jesus weeps with you. The Lord embraces you. Your debts, they're wiped away clean. You're forgiven, and that nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see how those statements free us to be the people that God makes us to be? And can God have the ability to forgive someone who could do something so horrific as go to a concert in Las Vegas and do that? It's something that we all have to consider, and we may not want to, because the world that we live in says, if you mess everything up and do something horribly wrong, then what? You better pay the price and do your time. That shooter ended his life in Las Vegas. The law will never convict that man. But what if he repented before he died? Would Christ forgive him? That is a tough one. And thank goodness God is the judge, because if it were me, I'd probably condemn him to a very fiery place. But our gospel that you heard today is from the Good Samaritan. A man falls ill on the side of the road, and what did the priest do? Walked right on by. Why did he do that? Because the law said the sick man is unclean. Next up, you have the Levite, and what did he do? He walked right by him too. He obeyed the law. He didn't touch him. The law told him, you don't help this person. But the Samaritan, what does he do? He offers assistance. He cares for the man like it's his brother. He offers healing and wholeness. In other words, this Good Samaritan offers God's grace. Did that free the hurt man? God's goodness has this ability to offer freedom and hope and redemption. So who came up with this whole law and gospel? Martin Luther came up with this line of thinking. The law and gospel laid the foundation of the Reformation, which said that all scripture ought to be distributed into these two principal topics, the law and the promises. The Old Testament, as you know, states the law. What's the law or the commandments that we follow? The Ten Commandments. If you also look into the book of Leviticus, there's lots of other laws that maybe if you feel like you have a couple days to read up on, you could. The laws, though, live besides the promise of the Messiah that is foretold in this Old Testament, that the Messiah will come, he will bring forgiveness and eternal life. And in the Gospels of the New Testament, Christ came to live out the Old Testament promises to forgive sins while offering justification and forgiveness and eternal life. The Formula of Concord, which is something they make us read in seminary, has one quote I'd like to share. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. We believe, teach, and confess that the distinction between law and gospel is to be maintained in the church with great diligence. So what are the three uses of the law? This is our super nerdy Lutheran portion of the sermon. First, the law is to curb. We fear punishment. Our law keeps our sinful nature in check for Christians and non-Christians. This doesn't stop sin, since sin is already committed when our heart desires to do what is wrong. Yet it stops the open outbreak of sin that will do further damage. Number two, the law is created to mirror, okay? The law serves as a perfect reflection of what God created in the human heart and life to be. It shows anyone who compares his or her life to God's requirement for perfection, he or she is sinful. And three, the law is a guide. This third use of the law applies only to Christians. The law becomes the believer's helper, empowered by the gospel truth of forgiveness and righteousness in Christ. The believer's new self openly desires to live a life to please the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, some Lutherans reject this third use of the law because Melanchthon wrote it and not Luther. But what does all of the law business mean for us? Curb, mirror, guide. The law is to put us in our place. It points out our sin, but the law can never save us. The gospel is something entirely different. It is balm for the wounded soul. It is comfort in the darkest nights. It's the goodness that overcomes evil. It's light in the darkness. It's the love of Christ when the devil's empty promises come knocking on the door. The gospel says that only by God's grace in Christ are we saved. Martin Luther said it this way: anyone, that means all of you, anyone can judge rightly between the law and the gospel should thank the Lord and know that he or she is a true theologian. In times of temptation, Luther says, I confess that I myself do not know how to do this as I ought. The way to discern one from the other is to place the gospel up in heaven and the law down here on earth. To call the righteousness of the gospel heavenly and the righteousness of law earthly, and to put so much distance between the two that the law and the gospel is between heaven and earth, between light and darkness, between day and night. If it is a question of faith or conscience, let us utterly exclude the law and leave it down here on earth. But if we are dealing with good works, let us light the lantern of works and of righteousness of the law. Let the sun and the light of the gospel and grace shine in the day, in the law of the lantern in the night. The law convicts us. It cannot save us. The gospel does. Martin Luther said that the law is for the proud and the gospel is for the brokenhearted. Did you get that? The law is for the proud, and the gospel is for the brokenhearted. If you turn your eyes to the screen, you'll notice a picture of an older man next to a sheep. Do you see the sheep? Okay. This is Shrek. He became famous several years ago when he was found hiding out in the caves for 6 years. Of course, during that 6-year time, his fleece grew without anyone there to shave it. Can you imagine? Most sheep have fleece weighing in just under 10 pounds, with the exception of reaching around 15 pounds maximum. For 6 years, this poor Shrek arrived carrying six times the regular weight of fleece, simply because he was away from his shepherd. And Jesus tells us, I am the good shepherd. Have we had some Shrek moments? If we avoid Christ's constant refining of our character, we are going to accumulate extra weight of this world, a weight that is not ours to carry. When they found Shrek, a professional shearer took care of his fleece in 28 minutes. 60 pounds gone. What a diet, huh? All it took was coming home to his shepherd. Christ can lift our burdens, our fleece removed, Matthew 11 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The law convicts our heart. It tells us to try to be better, do better. Our attempts will fail. But the gospel frees us in Jesus' name. Removes our fleece. We need both. The gospel wouldn't matter without the law. Luther understood. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. Amen.
Affirm a foundation, O saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in Christ Jesus the Word. What more can he say than to you he has said, who unto the Savior for refuge have fled? Fear not, I am with you, O be not dismayed, for I am your God, and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flames shall not hurt you, I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. Throughout all their lifetime, my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then, when gray hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born.
Our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the prayers of intercession. I will say, Lord, in your mercy, your response will be, hear our prayer. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Holy God, you call us to work for peace and justice in your vineyard. Refresh the church with your life, that we may bear fruit through work and service. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for the abundant harvest of the earth. Bless and care for those hands who bring the fruits of the earth to the tables of all. May we be inspired by your servants who care deeply for your creation, especially Francis of Assisi and all who tend to our land. Lord, in your mercy, curb the impulses of greed and pride that lead us to take advantage of others. Grant that world leaders seek the fruits of the kingdom for the good and welfare of all people. Lord, in your mercy. Sustain all who suffer with the promise of new life. Assured of your presence, heal our pain and suffering and equip us to embrace all bodies aching for wholeness of mind, body, and soul. We call to mind those who are struggling today. Donna Smith, Judy Lang, Curtis Stover and family, Tim Brainerd, Rosemary Stickrod, Teresa Copps, Clayton Erickson. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all managers in our community and for all those who seek employment. Give hope and future to those who lack meaningful work, those who have been marginalized or abused in the workplace, and those who desire new opportunities. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for the gift of the law and the gospel. We pray for those saints who have taught us how to live by faith in this vineyard and what it means to be a child of God. May our chorus join theirs until our labor is complete. Lord, in your mercy. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. After the service, there'll be a plate in the back that you can drop your offering out on the way out. And then also, if you're tuning in with us from online, there'll be a PayPal link below, or you can mail a check to church. Thank you. Please stand as you're able. Let us pray. O God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world, through Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen.
Christ our Lord has conquered, vanquished is the foe. Christ without our safety, Christ within our joy, who, if we be faithful, can our hope destroy. On our way rejoicing, as we forward move, hearken to our praises, O blessed God of love. Unto God the Father, joyful songs we sing. Unto God the Savior, thankful hearts we bring. Unto God the Spirit, bow we and adore. On our way rejoicing, now and evermore. On our way rejoicing, as we forward move, hearken to our praises, O blessed God of love.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.